We're going to move on to item five, which is our strategic planning workshop. Everybody good? Plowing through? We don't need to take a break? We're good? Good. All right. Good morning.
I'm Lynn Becker, and with me is Nina Harper, and we're from Aon Fiduciary Services Practice. And before we get into the deck, I just wanted to thank the board and Christina and staff for all the cooperation and contributions to the process so far. So I'm going to
Great. Well, it's a pleasure to be here today and wonderful to see you in person. I'm speaking to you really at a time when Sisera is experiencing successful operations, timeliness of service is greatly improved, assumed rate of returns being met. The goals are there. So why pause and speak to strategic planning at this point? Well, it's certainly not to come and reimagine the organization or change the organizational profile. Rather, really engaging in strategic planning as we see it is a sign of good governance. It's a product of organizational good health. So strategic planning really provides the items listed here on slide four, and I'll dig in there. Really a dedicated time for all ideas to be heard and considered. Provides a framework whereby opportunities can be highlighted and possible future mistakes may be avoided. That makes planning a process-driven function and kind of deludes the, takes out that personality-driven piece. Promotes the efficient use of your time, the fund's resources, and helps to formulate guidelines for measuring success. So the way we see strategic planning is it provides direction, but it remains flexible, and it can adapt as circumstances evolve. So in other words, Sisera is not wed to an unchanging document. Rather, it provides a touchstone, if you will, for staying on track. It should be active, it should be living, it should be a staying document. All right, go to slide five there. This graphic illustrates the continual process of strategic planning. You start with the foundation of the mission statement, take those broad areas of focus, develop the strategies, implement through action plans, and then look back to see how successful has it been, any necessary adjustments that need to be made. So part of strategic planning is to remain proactive rather than reactive in order to build resilience in a fluctuating environment, which I think leads back to what we've been talking about this last hour. All of those political changes, market changes. We know that political leadership brings significant alteration to rules, to regulations, and to established norms. So these market regulations also will change, they will evolve. So all these changes require organizations like Sisera to be nimble, to adjust, to pivot in the face of those changes. And we seek to develop a strategic plan that can help build stability. So this is supported by the premise that all the strategies and all the action plans that we talk about should support that mission statement. The mission statement should always remain that focal point. So to be clear, some terms that we'll use throughout the process are included on this slide. The mission statement really gives you the who and the why. Strategies are what you hope to achieve, and they reveal priorities. Action plans, they put it all together, iterate how time, talent, and the budget will be allocated to reach the goals and the objectives. And implementation indicates who's responsible for the work. It includes deadlines and dates, so it really gets down to that nitty-gritty. And then finally, performance measurement gauges how successful was the effort. Importantly, it allows you to see the changes that could be made. So on slide seven, listed here are some of the basic strategic planning principles we adhere to. And those include receiving that input from all trustees, key staff, identifying current strengths and weaknesses, holding candid conversations about the issues to be addressed, and using a practical mindset when setting priorities and making sure commitments are made to follow through with the plan, and then to establish time periods for items to be completed, those milestones.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yes.
Can you go back to the prior slide? On the action plan piece, the measurable steps and how we allocate our time. Is it fair to say that the board's adoption of the annual budget that we do every year reflects the agency's values and how we allocate our time and our talent and our budget?
Yeah, I think it does, because you're putting those resources to achieve those certain goals. So yes, it should be a reflection back.
And so in our environment, because we're created by statute, mm-hmm. we have a very particular defined objective by statute, which has evolved somewhat over time, but basically it's a fundamental mm-hmm. purpose that we have. So we're already in a bit of a box, right? Mm-hmm. In that sense. So I guess I'm trying to figure out where is the strategic planning flexibility within the context that we have here, where you have a agency with a defined purpose, some statutory constraints on that in terms of what we can spend and how we can do it.
Right.
You know, that's, to me, that's the challenge in this environment.
Right. So, you know, strategic planning, you're right. You're a government organization, but you're independent of the county, right? You're independent mm-hmm. working here. So in that, the board sets those objectives, and then staff really kind of takes that back to look at how to achieve it. And I think that's where a lot of the strategic component comes in. How is staff utilizing what it has now and what it may need? Maybe in a future budget year, come back to the board and say, board, you set this in our strategic plan. We're looking back at our measurable outcomes, and we're seeing that we need more resources here. Perhaps it could come in the area of cyber protection or AI or policies in there. Maybe you need a new vendor to come in to address just those things. It could be anything in that category. So I think there is that strategic component, both in the priority setting, of course, in cybersecurity, but also in that investment end. What else is needed? More staff, less staff, and to break down and look back and see what's going on. You know, maybe the strategic plan could create some sort of dashboard component or something of that nature where you can really look to see in one page what's being achieved and how it's taking place. Do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I'll just add to that. I mean, and it may make more sense once we go through what we're suggesting as far as goals and objectives and those measurable steps. We're certainly not recommending that you step outside your authority or, you know, come up with some off-the-wall crazy strategic plans that you wouldn't be able to effectuate. It's definitely contained within, you know, the bounds of your statutes and laws.
Well, and I think also... And I think that to borrow the words that your GC used, you know, everything in the strategic plan should be tethered to your fiduciary duties. Mm-hmm. And I really like those words she used, because if it doesn't tether to the fiduciary duty and the focal point isn't the mission statement, then it can be off track.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to oversimplify this, but we exist to try to maximize the amount of money that the entity can generate through employer contributions and through our market investments, which we just heard a long presentation regarding, in order to pay benefits to our members. And an ever-increasing number of our membership has become retirees, right, versus actives. So we're a mature plan in that respect. So I guess I'm just trying to orient us to, I don't want to call it a constraints analysis, but we definitely operate within a space mm-hmm. where our strategy is we need to make as much money as we can reasonably, taking acceptable risks, given the size of the, you know, the nest egg that we're trying to grow to meet our benefit obligations. When all gets said and done, script of nuance, that's kind of what we do. Right. That's our core objective. So I'm just trying to figure or understand or better appreciate the strategic planning aspect in terms of achieving those objectives? Because as I said, every year the budget that Henry presents reflects our values, right? It's going to reflect our determinations, our decisions throughout the year as to what's best for the ensuing year to meet the basic objective of the plan, which is to make money to pay benefits for the members. And that's, as I say, that's kind of what we do. I'm trying not to oversimplify it, but we do have a fairly narrow focus, I think.
Absolutely. So a little bit of my background as a former executive director of a public pension, we did engage in strategic planning, and one of the components we had put in there was the need in the future. So this is looking back for a pension administration system. And so that was installed by the current vendor you're using as well. And it really developed an action plan and a budgetary, you know, look to the future and how to put that in. I don't know what lies ahead, beyond a PAS and what the next step is going to be. But if you have a plan in place, it really enables you, I feel like, as an organization, to look at a big project like that and perhaps break it down and to look at the accountability, the milestones, the staffing, whatever you need to on the way to achieve it. So should something else like that come up, that's one example where I found strategic planning helpful, and it helped to kind of answer in advance and then helped us avoid certain mistakes in the implementation piece of that. And that ranged everything from being able to respond to members, where it's very clear the mission is to earn that investment return and pay those benefits. That is what is supposed to happen. And when an outgoing of money is being spent on a project and maybe the members aren't seeing the result as soon or as effective as they'd like, we were able to go back and answer those questions better. And we knew the process that we were on. We were able to show how monies were being well spent. So that's one example there. But I think that given all the fluctuations in the political environment and the investment environment that were discussed in the last hour, that if you were ever going to engage in strategic planning, now would be the best time to do it, to really solidify the processes you have and see where maybe uniform processes could be implemented. So if you have staff turnover, and I won't go on much further, but this just segueing into this, if you have staff turnover or only one person knows how to do something, or if multiple people achieve the same good result but they're all doing it a different way, then those things can be centralized and process-driven, and it really allows for some strength in the organization to be developed. I think strategic planning can be used to achieve that.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm, you're very welcome. That's a great question. So I was looking at the strategic planning principles. I was talking about evaluating progress on a regular schedule, and then, of course, reviewing it every 3 to 5 years to see what the standard is there. So what have we done to date? On slide 8 here, our progress so far, we've spoken to board and key staff. Also, we were here in the CICERA office back on January 28th to engage with staff during a strategic planning workshop. And part of that time was spent in conversation regarding strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, risk. And finally, member, employer, and culture surveys were developed and completed. So in addition to providing this background and update, we are seeking to gain further insight regarding the organizational vision and goals for the next 3 to 5 years, provide key themes and potential action plans from the conversations with staff, the board, and the survey. And hopefully this will assist in developing and forming that strategic planning document. If there's nothing further on those pieces, I was going to go on and speak to the mission statement.
Sure.
Kind of moving into that now on slide 11. Ultimately, all the strategies and action plans should support CICERA's mission, as I said earlier. The mission statement does not necessarily have to be reworked. No changes need to be made for change's sake. But it is appropriate to touch upon it, revisit it, and see if it still accurately reflects CICERA's work. So mission statements provide the purpose and objective in the present, and they describe what you do, who for, and then that benefit provided. So on this slide, you'll see CICERA's current mission statement. SACERA's mission is to effectively and accurately administer pension benefits earned by our members and to be prudent stewards of plan assets. So the staff also reviewed in their half-day workshop the mission statement, and they made the following edited suggestion you'll see there. And that would read, SACERA's mission is to be prudent stewards of plan assets in service to our public employees and their beneficiaries. So in particular, staff wanted the mission statement to reflect why SACERA exists, why it is here, and the impact SACERA has on others. So really to reflect the effective and good service that is daily given to members. They wanted it to be outward looking and then tie back to the community and who is SACERA and who it represents. So that is an independent entity in accordance with fiduciary principles.
Scott? Just as I read through these things, it was interesting. It looked to me as if something didn't get dropped, but it got move down in priority. The prior, and I'm not trying to defend the prior mission statement, but the prior mission statement put an emphasis on providing the service to our various publics. And it created an emphasis in my mind on that. And in addition, it also said we will do that through the prudent stewards of the plan assets. The workshop one seems to switch that entirely. It places the virtually all the emphasis on the plan assets, and then sort of generally drifts off into, and we also want to provide good service to our publics. Without sort of, it seemed to change the emphasis on that, and it's not that I was uncomfortable with it, but I took note of the fact that it changed the priority to some degree in my mind. That's about all I have to say about that.
No, I have a similar reaction to it, and I'm not being critical. I'm just reacting to the difference. It might be considered subtle, but when we adopted the current mission statement, I'm not sure how many years ago that was.
Not that long.
It wasn't that long ago. I agree. I want to say in the 2020 time frame, somewhere in there. Trying to remember if it was pre or post COVID. That's some, it's a little milestone we all use now. I don't actually recall when on that, which side of that line that occurred. But I mean, back to this core idea that we have a structure we exist within. We have a fiduciary obligation, right, to administer the plan assets for the benefit of the members. When all gets said and done, that's what we have to do. That's the constitutional charge. That's the fiduciary charge that we have. So we have to administer the plan benefits, for the benefit of the members and to be prudent stewards. So I my lean was very similar to Jerry's, that I agree with the current mission statement, because I think it accurately reflects. I'm not sure what the revision does in whether it reorients a priority or whether it does something different. I don't know. And obviously we weren't there for the discussion. That's a staff workshop. So
the first one, to me, places an emphasis on the people in this building. Not to exclude the investment professionals, but what the people in this building do every day. Accurate, timely administration, and that seems to me what the various constituencies want to see. It's almost understood that we can't do that without adequate assets. And so then it's not secondary, but it's an add-on. And this flips it the other way. It basically says we're in the business of making sure we've got the assets, and incidentally, we also want to provide good service to our constituencies. I just see it flipped in the new version. But again, I wasn't at the staff conference and probably had some really good discussions there.
So help me out. What's your understanding of the phrase in service to?
Right.
I think that's where I'm getting hung up in this.
I think that phrase was chosen based on multiple people contributing to the discussion because they really wanted it to be outward looking. They wanted the the real tie to the community, and they wanted that to be reflected in the mission statement. And I think there was a desire to somehow put investments in here and hopefully be, you know, prudent stewards of the plan assets, was encompassing a touch on that, and then to show that they were outward in their service.
Yeah, and I don't think the intent from staff was to necessarily flip importance at all. There was a lot of discussion around why we exist. We're in service to our membership. And, you know, we like that it said our public employees and their beneficiaries, which shows ownership and commitment, you know, to your membership and beneficiaries. So I think it was, you know, trying to summarize the current mission statement, which some thought, well, is it a little wordy? You know, could we capture all of these thoughts into a shorter impact statement? But again, you know, this is the board's mission statement. You don't have to make the changes. We're just presenting it to you after, you know, discussions with staff for your consideration.
Okay. I don't think we're looking for a decision today. We're obviously just having a discussion.
Yes.
You're giving an overview, and I'm not trying to get you off your timeline.
It's all good.
It's just that obviously this stood out to some of us. But I'm just sort of back to we have so many statutory obligations that constrain what we do and how we do it, when we do it, what happens if we don't. It's so structural in that sense that it's, you know, to me, the strategic planning has to be within the confines of what the statutory construct already is, really.
And we definitely agree with that. I think, you know, some of the way to think about it is, what are the benefits of having a strategic plan? Well, you know, you're documenting those large projects, those things that take considerable time, require the board's attention, you know, may have budget tied to it. And you're also, you know, are making sure that what you've delegated to staff is being appropriately carried out. So you have accountability. Who's responsible for what? When are they responsible for it? And then it's a reporting mechanism back to you as board members, so you could see progress on, you know, the various parts of your strategic plan. And then also there's transparency. You know, we recommend that the strategic plan be posted to the website so your membership and stakeholders can see, okay, what's going on at Sisera? What are, like, the top 3 to 5 year priorities that are being worked upon? So we believe, even though you are, you know, constrained, that there are still benefits to going through the process and having it documented.
Okay. Understood.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on the mission statement for a roll on?
Yeah, we could go on.
I kind of like the revised statement, just because it to me it highlights a sense of partnership between Sisera and its members. So that impressed me. So.
There you have it. You see how this goes. We can, you know, the good news is, we're simply tweaking phrases and thoughts, right?
Yes.
Trying to articulate in the best way. There's no fundamental disagreement about what we do and the value of what we're doing and what our core mission is. So,
correct.
Yeah, we're all on the same page. We just have little wrinkles that we like to put in.
Well, we're here for your input today. So any other comments, please share.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
day.
This group knows how to wrinkle
we're here
stuff.
All day.
So yeah, no. I don't want to, you know, keep interrupting you. So please go ahead, and then if we have questions, we'll chime in as you
feel free to interrupt.
As you've seen.
That's why we're here.
Well, the next piece may assist really in talking about the mission statement, actually. So that is vision statement. There was not a suggested outward vision statement recommended by staff, but there was discussion that from time to time an internal you know, non-public, just for internal staff use, vision statement could have some merit. And, you know, maybe some of those things that we're looking at changing in the mission statement could be used more internally in that way. So if the board decides to consider a vision statement, and by that I mean a statement that describes future direction, really provides a vivid description of what Sisera seeks to create in the future, I've put some examples here. So in general, we look at vision statements as being progressive, motivational, aspirational, really reflect long-term purpose and be forward-thinking. So that's kind of how we distinguish it from the mission statement.
And I thought your 4 points here, if this was agended as an action item today, I'd move that recommendation. I thought the 4 bullets you put in there, to me, are, you know, capture the essence of what you'd want the vision of the agency to be and the perception of the agency to be, because these points speak to how we are viewed as well. I thought they were very good.
Would there
But again, not to beat a dead horse, which I'm about to do. But all these vision statement or points focus on, virtually all, focus on customer service, responsive, high-quality service, excellence, innovation, professionalism, transparency. I agree with every one of those things. Suggesting that we're going to be prudent stewards of plan assets as basically our exclusive service to the public doesn't capture any of those to me. Is that so? I'm done. For now.
I think the motion would have passed, but go ahead. Yes, we'd add a substitute motion, no doubt.
If you have some thoughts about what you might like to see, we can discuss further and come back with some suggestions.
Yep.
Okay.
Is there an interest by the board at all in a vision statement or exploring that, or is it some organizations choose not to have one? They think that's more useful internally, and really the mission statement is satisfactory and meets all the needs. So I think we need some direction on there before we leave today on that piece.
Scott, I would volunteer that we don't need a vision statement. My lifetime experience in organizations with vision statements and mission statements is no one can quite remember, unless the words are in front of them, quite which is which and how they interact and what we're supposed to do with it. And I've just never seen it change anything. So at least one vote. let's stay with the mission statement. And I like much of what Jerry has highlighted in that.
So I'm going to have to kind of recalibrate my vote count in my head. Now, all good points. I mean, you know, to me, I'll put it this way. If I went to the Sisera website and on the homepage I found these 4 statements of our values, I'd be fine with that, right? That's really what they are. They're value statements. I don't know if I'd call it a vision statement as much as I'd say that this represents our core values, right? These 4 points. If that was on the homepage, it's fine. For me, you know, there's 12, 11 other people here have something to say about it. But so this is. See, you thought it was going to be easy when you came in today.
This is all good.
That really is an interesting concept, just to have value statements in lieu of a vision statement. I think that might be something the board.
Well, I'm just interpreting,
really nice,
but it seems to me those 4 points you gave from other examples, mm-hmm. perhaps other systems, perhaps to me, kind of are a value statement. Yeah. They're how we want to be perceived. They're what we think we are. What we aspire to be, if we're not. That's my reaction to it.
That's great. Just to follow up, Trustee Phillips, on what you said, you know, most people can't remember what the mission statement is. We did have that discussion with staff. And, you know, we talked about, you know, if the board decides to keep its current statement or make any adjustments, that internal staff was going to, you know, perhaps put it on internal memos, to have it on the internal employee website, you know, to bring it to the forefront of your employees so that they do, you know, see the mission statement and perhaps can, you know, remember it better.
Good. I have no objection in particular with that, but going back and again looking at the world I've come out of, these go on the shelf somewhere. Sometimes they get referred to, but as a practical matter, they don't. The shorter it is, the better.
Yes.
The more sentences and the more nice words, the less it's retained and followed and thought about, and et cetera. So, I guess maybe I don't recall playing any particularly active role in our current one, but I think our current one says what we do.
Yeah.
As opposed to the new one, that proposed one, and I realize it's in a proposed state. Where were those? Oh, the words disappeared. Anyway, not important, but we replaced "we do something well" with "in service to." Well, I don't know what "in service to" means, and I suspect that most people on a daily basis for their role as employees of the plan wouldn't know either. I like the one that says clearly what it is we do, which is what we do.
Sure. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. All right, so now we'll get into our suggested themes. So the way that we came up with the themes was, you know, as Benita summarized earlier, we gathered the information through our interviews with trustees and key staff, and also we reviewed all the information from the member survey, the employer survey, and the culture survey, and came up with these suggested themes. Again, it's up to the board if you want to delete some of these, if you want to change them, add something different. You know, it's really throwing it out there for your consideration. And, you know, I can give you highlights from the surveys and the interviews. So from the member survey, there were good satisfaction levels, confidence that benefits will be there for the membership. They also appreciate the system's efforts in innovation. What they would like to see more of is improved online services and technology, which we know you're already working on your PAS system. More workshops, perhaps more education online, and improved processing times, which again, you're already addressing through your PAS system. As far as the employer survey, you know, there was good satisfaction again, and there was definitely desire in the technology side of things, you know, an online employer portal, better use of technologies, you know, for example, automating new hire enrollment, having electronic forms, having real-time access to employee data. And then there was also a desire for more collaboration with the system in terms of providing education to new hires to the system. As far as the internal culture survey, that was the survey of your staff. There's definitely employee satisfaction. There's a feeling of connectedness. We definitely seen comments about being positive about recent shifts in culture. There's a desire for, you know, recognition and acknowledgement, and I'm sure Christina has shared that she's already worked on, you know, recognition program with points and a mascot and themes, and that's being really well received by your staff. Staff would also like to explore training and development opportunities and perhaps cross-training opportunities. Highlights from our interviews, you know, definitely have a strong board. There's definitely recognition that the board is here in the best interest of your membership, and that you have mutual respect among each other and with your staff, that you have trust with your staff. And we can say, you know, having conducted the interviews, we agree with that sentiment. We also believe you have very dedicated staff. They all get why you're here within the constraints of, you know, what you do every day. Yep. And, you know, the staff workshop really showed us that there is definitely strong interest in always making improvements for your membership and, you know, wanting to look towards the future. So those were all very positive things that we experienced. Some of the things that, you know, staff would like to see is, you know, perhaps more interdepartmental interaction, documentation of workflow processes. You'll see that in a couple slides when I talk about that a little more, in terms of, you know, making sure that you're capturing that institutional knowledge and also for succession planning going forward in the future. There's also discussion about addressing cybersecurity and enhancing member education and outreach. And, you know, always the theme that we hear a lot about is modernizing your technology. So that's how we came up with the six themes. We usually recommend that a strategic plan have 5 to 7. So I don't know, before I go into each one, if there's any initial reaction that you want to share or if you just want me to discuss each one.
So I want to give you a reaction just on the recap from the interviews.
Yes.
Because it's kind of a mixed bag. There are elements of what you learn from your interviews that strike me that are uniquely management functions. It's what our CEO and the staff do every day in terms of managing the workplace, getting to the tasks that you know that need to be done, managing the people,
yes,
in the best possible way, whether that's allocation or whether it's you know, the benefits of cross training. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I view those as management functions. I don't see those as strategic plan functions. I see those as things that the executive management of the agency carries out, right, to ensure that the mission is being addressed and delivered, right? So I don't see that as a strategic planning theme, per se, that kind of stuff. And I mean, if I were going to say what I think the strategic plan is, it would be we should hire, the quality of our hires is the most important thing that we would do in any aspect of this. Because if we have really high quality employees that are suited well for what their position is, and we've got really high caliber folks, we're going to do well. And if we don't, we're not. In a very basic way.
Yes.
And I think just about every organization is judged that way. At least
yes.
That's how I learned it way back when in management theory class.
Absolutely. And those are definitely fair points. You know, the strategic plan is really supposed to be about the whole organization. And again, if you would like to take that portion away from the plan, it can be done. But, you know, you are the ultimate authority in charge of the system, and you delegate to staff. And having some of these items, as I'll explain in a couple of slides, part of your strategic plan is making sure that you are monitoring your delegations and making sure that, you know, there is going to be high-quality staff hired and retained, making sure that those things are going to take place. It's part of accountability, and it circles back to you as a board member to look at this and make sure, yes, without just assuming these things are going to be done, we have them documented and we're getting reporting upon those things, if that makes sense.
It does. I would say that in years past, at least for me, as a board member, one of the challenges was not really appreciating all of the sort of the workplace, for lack of a better term, issues, but the workplace conditions, mm-hmm. how the day-to-day function, we're fairly removed from that, and probably should be for the most part. But we had little vision into it. I'll tell you that, at least from my perspective, mm-hmm. I had little vision into that to have an understanding of how we were functioning overall, other than what was being reported through the then CEO. I'm not throwing rocks. I'm just making an observation. And that was the one lens we had into the entire organization for the most part. Some of the folks here are members who actually interact with our staff and have, I don't want to say daily, but regular interaction. Some of us are not members of the agency or members of the system and don't have that interaction. Mm-hmm. Some of us are more frequent visitors to the office than others. So we all had to have a different level of perspective about getting inside to understand what the complete system looks like. So it presents a challenge when we talk about strategic planning to get into the core of the organization and the various functions of it, because our structure is we have a CEO, we have an assistant CEO, we have a chief investment officer, we have a general counsel, mm-hmm. and these are all our key component players. I'm not leaving anybody else out, Henry and Eric and everybody else. I was pointing to the people right in my immediate sideline. And I'm just saying that we have all of these high caliber folks who are charged with the responsibility for carrying out the tasks and the duties within their ambit. Mm-hmm. And that's how the system functions.
Sure.
I mean, I think, I don't know how else to make it.
Right. Scott, I would say that strategic planning starts with the big picture, and it encourages inclusion of everybody involved with the system. And for all of those who are a part of CICERA to feel like they have buy-in to what we're doing and how we're doing it going forward and so forth, that may not have existed earlier on, especially when you didn't, we weren't privy to a lot of that information. I think this is kind of a possibly kind of a healing process, and also kind of makes people feel perhaps more empowered with their role in CICERA and how we accomplish our mission. So I see it as a positive. It's a good thing.
Okay. If there are no other comments.
Here's a question. Are these in any particular order, like by priority, by importance?
No. It can be adjusted if the board would like to see the priority, but no, this was neutral. So just to explain the next couple of slides. So, we come up with the central themes, and for each theme, then we'll come up with goals and objectives. And goals are, state what you want to accomplish. The example I have there, the theme is member service delivery. We want to provide accurate and timely benefit processing and payments. The objectives are, how are you going to accomplish that? Explore a new PAS system, taking actionable steps to make sure that you are meeting that goal. So for each of the themes, we'll go through high level, it's not wordsmith, just some high level ideas of some goals and objectives to get the board's reaction.
Okay. So you just mentioned the pension administration system.
Yes.
So the short version of this is that several years ago now, I want to say, somewhere in that time frame, the inadequacies of the existing system really, mm-hmm. really became highlighted, let's put it that way,
yes.
In terms of data management, in terms of processing doing our core function, processing retirements to timely pay benefits to members, right? When all gets said and done, that our system was constraining that, still does. And so the decision was made, and I know Christina at the time, who was not CEO then, but what was deputy CEO at that time, was intimately involved in bringing forward proposals to change the pension administration system, which we ultimately decided as a board. So as a major item, it was a major capital item,
yes.
but it was a significant change. So that was a board decision based in part on the fundamental change and the dollar value involved. And we're still working through that. We had a lot of challenges, lots of interesting bumps in the road, but we've gotten through it. And I think our current time frame, I hope anyway, is still looking at May, June.
Great.
To get that fully online, not fully online, understanding that the component parts, one of which you alluded to, which is the member portal, will follow as soon as we can make that an effective attribute.
Yes.
So all of that work got done, I would say, in an organic way. In other words, that was the natural consequence of having a pension administration system that got outdated. Maybe it wasn't good to begin with. I don't know. I wasn't here at that point. But it became outdated and inadequate for the purpose. It was identified as a problem. It got to here, right,
yes.
In terms of, hey, we want to spend X dollars to upgrade the system. Here's what we expect to accomplish. Here's the outcomes we want.
Mm-hmm.
We approve that, and it's literally being implemented as we speak. Sometimes we've had to have a short leash on it, but it's getting implemented. So to me, that's part of the natural consequence in an organic way of how the board functions in managing the agency through its executive positions to bring about a strategic change.
Yes, and I agree with all that. And, the strategic plan I was saying earlier isn't meant to replace that. It isn't meant to replace your ability or authority, to make those decisions and commitments. It's more of documenting and tracking and coming up with, a strategic planning report every quarter so that the board can take a look at it, what you're interested in, where progress is, and it helps drive accountability and timelines and who's responsible for what. So it's just a more organized phase of what you just explained. And, let me jump to member service. So this is an example. Obviously, the PAS system, the process has been years in the making. But because it's such a significant project, and because it's costly and it requires the board's attention and it takes up so much of staff time, we believe that's a perfect example of what should be captured on a strategic plan. And when we had our discussions with staff, as you mentioned, there's a lot of steps coming up along the way. And the things that staff would like to do are, as different phases roll out, let's do testing. Let's do testing with the processors who are familiar with it. Let's do testing with the employees who have nothing to do with this to see how our membership is going to react when this is rolled out. Let's come up with FAQs, questions that may be developed as the system is rolled out. Let's come up with standardized communications, and then communicate to our members. Look, we now have improved processing times for your refund, as an example. So these are the ideas that could be captured on a strategic plan and fleshed out in terms of, the nitty-gritty details that you've delegated to your staff and, the performance measurements, but then it comes back to you in a high-level report so that you can see progress.
I don't want to interrupt you from your flow
and
to get through this. I guess my reaction to that is that I would look to the CEO in the context of how we currently are structured. Mm-hmm. I would look to our CEO to be the point person to implement every aspect of what you just described. And in fact, I know she's doing that, because we get a monthly report from our CEO about various topics of interest to us. Mm-hmm. And the one that is usually top of list and top of mind for us is the processing time from the time a person submits their application to actually achieve retirement to when they get their first check. That's been a challenge for us.
Yes.
And the good news is, through the work of our staff, and it's taken a village here, but with the leadership that our CEO has exercised, that timeline has been shortened, even given the constraints of the current pension administration system. And there are constraints, even with that. So to me, that's the normal structural way that challenge is met and the outcomes are measured, right? So whether it was or wasn't in the strategic plan was we need a new pension administration system to do things, including shortening that time, mm-hmm. and we're doing that without a separate document saying this is a plan objective. It's a fiduciary objective that we created and implemented. And it's carried out through the CEO. So I'm just trying to translate what you're saying in a strategic planning context to how our current structure is, mm-hmm. which I don't think is atypical for systems. I think we're maybe similar in terms of board staff relationships. So that's my reaction to it. It had, in our case, it had an organic beginning, and it's going to have an organic end, hopefully soon. To get it fully online and operational, but it came about without an independent planning process to say it should be.
And that's fair. And, you know, as I've said before, this isn't meant to replace the board's authority or, you know, taking actions such as you just explained. It's consideration of a document and with milestones and accountability and timelines and a reporting mechanism so that future boards can look at it in the next 3 to 5 years. You know, you may have staff come and go. And, you know, this is a way of capturing things into one document and one reporting process. But again, this is your strategic plan. If the board doesn't want to even develop the plan, you know, we're here for your input. Or you can decide we don't want to focus on things that we've delegated to the CEO. You know, perhaps you want to have that captured through your monthly reports or on the performance evaluation criteria that you expect. That's up to the board. These are just, you know, the thoughts that we had after reviewing all of our feedback and having discussions with staff.
No, it's great. It gets it out on the table and we're having that discussion.
Yes.
May not always be going the way you thought it was going to go, but we're having the discussion.
No, this is great. And, of course, Julia and I, we're both attorneys, so if we're not interrupted, we think something's wrong.
There you go.
We always feel like something's wrong. But I just wanted to cast a little bit of a spotlight on something that was alluded to and just to develop that a little bit. If the board decides not to engage in to implement a strategic plan, perfectly okay. It's a sign of good governance that you visited the concept, you decided it's not right for the organization now, and then you documented that through the minutes of this meeting. And so 5 years from now, 10 years from now, different board, they look back and say, I wonder why they didn't do that. Well, now they know this was the discussion that took place. And then the second piece that I just wanted to highlight a little bit more is succession planning, which is key for the longevity and the continued solid operations of any organization. So when you have succession planning, sometimes given, you know, the time period of what's going on in the organization, strategic planning can be helpful because it adds that extra layer of accountability. So as things change and staff changes, you do have that extra layer. So I just wanted to highlight those 2 points in addition to what you were saying.
Yeah, I think that latter point is something we all share in terms of succession planning and how, you know, the ability of the organization to continue in a seamless way and in a productive way, it's a critical function. There's no doubt.
All right. Well, let me go back to a couple of the other identified goals and objectives. So governance, you know, governance should always be an ongoing process. We know that you currently have good governance, but that doesn't mean you just stop reviewing your policies and stop reviewing delegation and monitoring, you know, and the accountability that you demand. And so, you know, we know that exercising good governance helps you meet your fiduciary duties. It also, you know, minimizes risk. And there's studies that show that good governance practices lead to increased returns, and it also enhances your stakeholder confidence. And so, you know, we often see governance on public pension plans, strategic plans. Again, this is up to the board. You know, some thoughts of ways of meeting the goal to ensure that you carry on with your good governance practices include board education on governance. That's always a supplement to your fiduciary education that can take place. And, you know, you might think these are things that, you know, you expect Christina to be responsible for, but we definitely think it was important, you know, that there's definitely a need for written procedure documentation internally. And, you know, staff gets so busy, there's not always time to take out 4 hours a day and write down what you're doing. But in terms of making sure that you have that institutional knowledge captured internally and looking for the future, we think it was vital, you know, and that it should take place. And staff thought it should be on the strategic plan to ensure that it does get done and that there are, you know, timelines and accountability fleshed out through that. And then the final bullet here, staff talked about having, you know, a KPI process developed. I know you get various reports right now, you know, in terms of, you know, perhaps coming up with a dashboard. What is important to the board? What would you like to see on a one-page graph so that you feel good that, you know, things look good from your perspective? So that you know that you are meeting your fiduciary duty to monitor. Ongoing monitoring is a fiduciary duty. You know, you can't just delegate and walk away. You have that responsibility. So there was definitely discussion with staff. Could we come up with a board dashboard with input from the board of what types of things would you like to see on that dashboard?
Interesting. I think probably we all have a keen interest in that third bullet point. And the way, at least I understand, it's managed now, and I wouldn't call it a dashboard, but we do, as I've indicated, get a periodic, I think it's a monthly report. It's sometimes more frequent than that, but it's a monthly report on some key topics, including the timeline that I discussed earlier, right? The retirement, the actual receiving check. That's a major, you know, goal and continued want to make sure that's happening and improving item. But we measure, for instance, we don't measure. We get a report on our retirements in, you know, February of 25 compared to 24, you know, our year over year. So we're getting that now in a monthly report from the CEO. Mm-hmm. And if I'm misstating it, I know you'll correct me, but I mean, that type of highlighted information that might be on a dashboard would is something we're getting in that format.
Sure.
Now, I don't know if it would be in a, it could maybe be packaged different or presented differently. And I would say, I think a pitfall of trying to put investment performance on that, on any kind of monthly frequency or greater, is that our CIO would probably tell me that, you have to measure these things over given periods of time. You sat through the quarterly report, right, which is always in arrears a few months, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there, you know, it's a what have you done for me lately world, but if you know, I don't know that we could do much with investment information on a real dashboard kind of real-time basis. So I guess that's my long-winded way of saying I kind of like the system we have, whether it can be packaged differently or presented differently. But what Christina has done as CEO is to develop this regular report that hits these key items, and whatever's topical. And it might include cybersecurity in some months, other months it might not.
Sure.
So maybe, just going to say, maybe down the road, you would look more at a real-time report with different metrics. So as things progress and develop and we start measuring things differently and, information gets faster, maybe that would be a time when you'd want to pull out some of those things in Christina's report, put them in a different format and have them updated in real time, like terminations, if there's an upshot in that some month or something.
Right, more, and we actually get, that's part of the monthly report. So I know what our retention is today.
Right.
I know how many employees we have, how many have transitioned out. And that's current now.
And again, as Benita said in the beginning, none of this is meant to criticize what you have now. It's just having these conversations with your staff and bringing these ideas to the board for your discussion and your feedback, like we're doing now. There was talk about, maybe we could come up with a different kind of dashboard. But, there was definitely recognition that they want to know what the board wants to hear about. If you're fine with the monthly reports the way they are, that's perfectly acceptable. It's just, different ideas of thinking of ways of making your system even better than it already is.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not opposed to the concept at all. I'm just saying it's all about how it's presented.
Yes.
And I know some people like literal dashboards where they can either pull up a screen or pull up a page, and it's got maybe graphics on it, and it's very succinct. Mm-hmm. And I guess my concern about some dashboard types of structures like that is that you can make it too simple, or too abbreviated, or too dumbed down, and then you're not really accomplishing the objective of what you wanted to do. And the metric that might be there in a green light or a red light isn't really going to be helpful to you next month.
Right.
Or compared to last month, right?
And definitely the board, if staff were to develop, a proposed dashboard, whether it be charts, graphs, red light, green light, the board would have input. You would have input on what you think makes sense, or no, we don't really need to track that, or that's really not meaningful to us. So again, it was just a suggestion that perhaps one could be developed down the road, but there would definitely be major board input on how your ultimate dashboard would look like.
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Investments, obviously, that's talking about constraints, that's obviously one of the three-legged stools that you have. But in discussions with staff, we had a really good conversation. The portfolio analytics report we thought was significant enough that it could be added to a strategic plan in terms of, the time and resources that have been put into that report. And there was also discussion, having some educational sessions, whether it be for the investment committee only or for the full board, and talking about those metrics, not putting funding ratio, assume rate of return on a dashboard, but instead, as you mentioned, having your CIO making sense of those metrics and, what time horizon makes sense to look at those things. And to come up with, a list of suggested investment topics that the board would like to hear about, sending a survey to the board, having you rank those, in terms of priority, what you would like to hear. And then perhaps calendaring, a half hour at each investment committee meeting or a board meeting so that you get those really focused investment educational sessions. So, those were the objectives that we came up with when we talked about investments. But again, open to any feedback or additional objectives the board might want to focus on.
Well, I mean, one bit of feedback. I must have had too much coffee today. I'm not sure what. But so you heard the presentation prior from both Barris and our CIO regarding investments and what's happening in this market or what's happening in emerging markets. And you probably heard the recurring theme of how we're performing against a benchmark.
Yes.
So the benchmarking topic is probably, not is, has been and remains one of the most important things for the board to understand, which is how our investments perform relative to an index, mm-hmm. a measuring stick that's appropriate for that investment, to know how we're doing.
Yes.
You know, if we're getting 5% in a CD and we think that's great, but everybody else is getting 19% in, you know, XYZ investment, well, you know, we have to think about it. So we just went through, the point of this is, we just went through in an organic way that discussion on benchmarks, and that, mm-hmm. that discussion became a fairly detailed deep dive by both the CIO and Verus in terms of what benchmarks are appropriate for asset classes, specific investments. We had a challenge with private equity investments because there's no mark-to-market understanding of what a private equity investment is worth. So there have been various benchmarks that have been used to try to measure performance. Ultimately, that's what matters here, is how are we doing? And it's, you know, Tim's job as CIO, he's bringing that information to us on a monthly basis, so we know how we're doing. So the biggest single thing we had to grapple with was understanding our benchmarks, restating them, if you will, where necessary, refining them where necessary. And I think we've done that. And actually, we just got through that process, I want to say, probably in the last several months, right? We kind of put the end touch on that. So we've been through that process now in terms of investment metrics. And then we established an investment committee, mm-hmm. which David McDonald chairs and is going to meet shortly after this meeting if it ever ends. And that's currently how we manage investments. Right? That's kind of how we roll.
That's wonderful. You know, it's just a suggestion. There might be other discrete areas of investments that you can have short educational topics on. You know, I'm sure your CIO and staff could come up with a suggested list to see if there's any interest.
And that's in addition to conference opportunities and
yes,
client conferences,
yes,
right?
Yes.
So this is beyond the
yes.
existing
yes.
opportunities.
And I didn't get a chance to talk with Christina and Karen about this, but, you know, I've seen other California systems give trustees credit for ongoing education, you know, for having that education at specified board meetings. So that's
and we have that here.
Perfect.
We do.
So this would be added additional continuing education for the investment committee and or the board.
Okay. Well, carry on. I don't mean to keep interrupting.
Okay. All right. So technology, you know, some of these are no-brainers. Obviously, cybersecurity is something that every organization has to pay attention to. So we talked about, you know, increasing the testing, perhaps having more discussion in executive session for board members about the system cybersecurity. We talked about modernizing and improving internal technology, always staying on top of the AI trends, not saying that the system should use them, but, you know, it's definitely something that should be monitored and followed. And also there was discussion about, you know, improving system integration across departments.
So we really can't discuss cyber security
right,
here
right.
publicly.
Exactly.
All I can tell you is, looking at those first two bullets, it's a daily thing.
Yes.
Right.
It should be.
It's
yes.
it's top of mind and being implemented every day.
Wonderful. Okay, we're almost there. So I give staff a lot of credit because they came up with having a theme focused on your employers. And I think that's commendable. You know, in response to the employer survey, a lot of respondents were really appreciative that Sisera had reached out to the employer groups to seek the feedback. And, you know, there's definitely an interest out there by your employer groups in increased communication and ongoing cooperation with the system. You know, as you'll see here, there's also requests that perhaps you can work with employers to have orientation for new hires. There's definitely a request from employers, you know, to be kept up to date on the PAS rollout, and obviously they'd be open to those, you know, training sessions and communications as the system rolls out. But, you know, I just think this is a very good goal, and commend staff for coming up with that.
Not hearing anything to the contrary.
Okay, great. All right. Final one. Again, this might be something that you think, you know, you delegated this to Christina, and perhaps it shouldn't be on there. But as we talked about, you know, we believe that strategic planning covers the whole organization, and, you know, it does recognize contribution by your employees and helps them feel part of the organization and the process. And, you know, we talked about, you know, perhaps there aren't, you know, a ton of available job positions, so recruiting isn't so much, you know, an everyday issue for the system, but definitely retaining your good employees is important. And so, you know, taking comments from staff at the workshop and responses to the culture survey, we came up with these objectives, you know, to make sure there's professional development opportunities for staff, the recognition program that Christina has already implemented, cross-training opportunities. Again, much like, you know, staff doesn't always have time to sit down and document internal workflow processes, there's always, you know, there's not always time to have cross-training opportunities. But, you know, if this is something that is embraced, there would be that opportunity. And then perhaps there would be opportunities for mobility, you know, amongst different departments for your employees. You know, and, you know, definitely talking about, you know, opportunities for growth within the system. So, you know, those were the objectives that we came up with. And you definitely have a very dedicated staff. And that came through. Once again, I just wanted to share that with the board.
Well, on this one, my reaction is that we want to be a great workplace, and we want to be an attractive employment opportunity, right?
Yes.
To those on the outside. So I'm hard pressed to quibble with anything here. I think all of these recommended ideas should be part of the structure. Now, whether they're in a standalone document here or how, the form it takes, I'm not sure. And as a strategic objective, my reaction is I'm good with this because I think this, you know, the quality of our product is going to be really dependent upon the quality of our people. We have high quality people now. Really, really excited about that. It's not something I worry about, right, at all.
Right.
It's really important. You want to be a place that people want to work, right, and want to feel they have opportunities, whether it be cross-training opportunities, advancement, whatever their objective might be. Hard to argue with that.
Great. Okay.
Scott?
Yes, sir.
Knowing the genesis of these things, it came from staff input. It's like virtually 100% is staff input, which is correct. It came from the staff workshops, right?
It came from staff workshops, right. Also responses to the culture survey,
right?
And discussions with us of things that we've seen.
So the point being that I see this as basically a template for the management staff as much as anything else for Christina and her key individuals. These are people that are, I don't want to overemphasize it, but they're crying out for things that they think might be useful in helping them do their jobs better. And to that end, we don't want to let any of these things fall by the wayside, because there's some really very good ideas in here and logical ideas. When people are asking for more training, when they're asking for metrics that they can follow, it's almost as if sometimes you can see in call centers, I don't think our call center is quite that large, but when call centers post the numbers that are up there and what the goals are, it's the same sort of thing here. They're asking for, I'm not sure what form it would take, but something that says our goal is to get people on payroll by X number of days. And then as that improves over the course of time, they can see that number going up or down and see what kind of progress they're making. That's the kind of dashboard I hear about that. And when they're talking about cross training, it seems quite obvious that they really want to find out what people do in other jobs. And I think that prevents a lot of siloing
Yes.
To make sure that you don't have people that are sitting there saying, I had no idea what happened to that thing when it left my desk. That always killed me when people would say, do you have any idea what happens when it goes downstairs? No. All I know is that I check box two, and then I get it off my desk. What happens after that is none of my business. It's absolutely that person's business. It's everyone's business, because that's a collective product that this organization is putting out. And it really is important and I think valuable for them to know where they fit into the entire process. It'll allow them to do a better job of what they do each day. And they may come up with some very good suggestions about checking box six. Doesn't have to be done that way anymore. If I knew that, I could do my job easier here. So it's, they're asking for more education. They're asking for additional career opportunities. Mm-hmm. And you know, the best career advice I gave to people was, you make me look as good as you possibly can so I can get promoted and you can have my job. And sometimes that worked out until I got, you know, laid off. So I was that put my theory to the test.
Okay, they still got your job, right?
Say what?
They still got your job.
That's right. They still got my job. And then it turned out I was redundant, so, which was a problem. So, but I see this as being something that is just a template for... Mm-hmm. for management and cooperative interaction amongst all the staff members so that they hear what these folks are saying. Because this all seems like management 1A to me. Not to dismiss it, it just means you got to be hitting those singles and doubles to make sure that, you know, it's going to work out for you for the entire game. So,
agree.
I mean, I certainly salute all these things and they make sense to me. Whether or not they have to be put into some kind of grand strategy, you know, always escapes me, because that kind of stuff, I think, sometimes doesn't bring it to life. If you put it into some wonderful binder, then the binder, somebody already mentioned, gets put on a shelf, mm-hmm. and people forget what the hell the binder was for. You know, that strategic binder, we got to bring that down every once in a while and revise it, because it says we have to revise it and review it every 6 months. So it's got to be something that's a living way of life for people in an organization, so they all know that they're all rowing in the same direction. Have I mixed enough metaphors in here?
Probably. Yeah, you got a lot of, you got to let them go.
Because I've got several more that I can toss in. They won't fit any better than the last ones I've used, but
And that binder you're talking about now, it's actually a bookmarked PDF that's probably lost on a hard drive somewhere, right? There's no more shelf.
There's no more shelf.
There's no more three-ring binder on your shelf.
But you ought to also have to be careful about putting something that's so formalized and so static into a document that's somewhere. Yeah. I mean, what's that old saying about war? The first thing that goes in war is the plan. You know, that disappears instantly because that's not what you were fighting. But nobody reaches up and says, give me the manual on how to handle that incoming missile. So, you know, this all makes sense to me. I would like not to see it become too static,
yes.
too structured, too... monolithic,
yes.
you know, and it's sitting on a shelf in the lunchroom.
We absolutely agree with that. We think if the board ultimately decides to go with a strategic plan, it needs to be a living document. And that's why, you know, we'd like to have those realistic performance measurements, attainable goals captured. And, it, you know, it's an ongoing process. It's not meant to be on a binder.
Yeah.
And, you know, those action steps would be fleshed out, you know. I appreciate you saying don't make it too formalized, but, you know, once it's developed, then you can actually see this year we're going to offer this to our employees. And, you know, so that makes it concrete and realistic and attainable.
And then we need to get feedback from them. Is
yes.
this working?
Yes.
Is this what you had in mind?
Yes.
How can we improve this so that it works better for you?
Agree. Yeah. Okay. Well, before I talk about next steps, I'm sorry about that. Are there any other comments? Sorry.
Well, let's talk about next steps. Okay. Although, if you want to put your inbox up, that'd be fun too. But I love that when it happens.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, let's just generally talk about next steps. You got a lot of feedback today.
Yes.
And the question is, how do you want to process it, and what do you want to do?
Okay, I'm sorry. Well, what we're going to do is, you know, we definitely took notes and listened to you. So we're going to go back and make some adjustments and have conversations with Christina and any other key staff that she would like, and come back to the board to have it a little bit more fleshed out, taking into consideration some of the comments here, and get your reaction if the board is comfortable with us pursuing that route. If you're at the point where you think these are things that, you know, you're not interested in pursuing a strategic plan, you know, let us know that as well. But we're happy to continue working on this and working with staff and perhaps bringing back, you know, something more formal for the board's consideration.
So if there's a consensus on the board that they prefer a template for management staff, then we can work directly with staff and move that forward. But in the other option B, as Julie was just saying, if it's preferred that we pursue more strategic planning, but perhaps in a modified form, or have it look different, tailored to the things that were said today, then we can come back to the board and do that. And I think that's kind of the direction that we're looking for.
Yeah, I think that latter point is probably, we can all speak to this, but my suggestion would be to take the feedback you've heard today, hash that out, and then work with Christina, and then consider bringing it back on another agenda. Whether or not it's for action or further discussion is something that can be worked out. And we'll take a look at the more, I don't want to say refined, but whatever the distilled product is from what you've heard today. Does that seem reasonable?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much.
All right, sense. Well, thank you. Sorry
appreciate
for all
your
of
time.
Them.
Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Yeah.
Thank you.
Is there any reason to put smaller type on the slide at the bottom?
Oh, it's the fiduciary disclaimer, Jerry.